This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Greeley, one team like the UNC Bears, and one bank who cheers as loud as you do. Bank of Colorado, proud partner of UNC Athletics, member FDIC.
Pig City Roadhouse presents Rocky Mountain College Kickoff on KFKA. With Brady Hull, Dustin Urbis, and Mike Danson, here's Tanner Schwint.
Well, no doubt an important game for the Colorado State Rams tomorrow night, 7:30 on FS1. And I want to give a big thank you to Brian Roth, who does this for us every single week. He sat down with the voice of the UTSA Roadrunners, Andy Everett, and Brian's got that for us now.
All right, fellas, thank you very much. Yeah, Brian Roth here, voice of the Rams, and the host of the Colorado State Insider Podcast, new episode every Wednesday, talking all things Colorado State. Well, we're previewing the game coming up on Saturday night against UTSA. To do that, we bring in Andy Everett, longtime play-by-play voice of the Roadrunners. Andy, good to talk with you. And look, I want to start here. Introduce fans to UTSA. I know when Colorado State, obviously going to the Pac-12, and the conference was looking for another team, UTSA's name was thrown about there. And I'm not sure a lot of Ram fans know that much about the Roadrunners football program and really the athletic program in general. So catch Ram fans up to speed on who UTSA is.
Well, the school is just over 50 years old. It was formed in 1969. They first started playing sports in 1981 with men's and women's basketball. They added baseball in the early 90s, and now it's got all the sports that you need to have a full-fledged athletic department. There was a lot of discussion for years as to whether UTSA needed football or not, and Lynn Hickey was our athletic director starting in 1999. And she was kind of on the fence until she went to some games of teams in that we play a lot, like Texas State and others. And she said, you know, we need campus life and dormitories and fraternities and sororities and all of that require a great sports program. And the anchor of that is football. The most important thing they ever did was hire Larry Coker to be the first coach, because it gave the team two things. One, it gave them instant credibility that a former national championship coach was going to be the lead and the face of the program. And two, Larry had so many contacts that we were immediately able to go to FBS in our second year. This is how it started. And it started with Larry Coker, and then Frank Wilson had the reins for a few years, and now Jeff Traylor.
Talking to Andy Everett, he's the voice of the UTSA Roadrunners as they match up with Colorado State and Fort Collins on Saturday night. All right, we'll talk about the program overview, because Jeff Traylor now in his sixth season, and you talk about the success. I mean, a couple of double-digit win seasons mixed in there, and then five consecutive bowl games. How would you describe the culture that he's been able to build there?
Well, it's amazing. I don't think there's a better person that's coaching football. He does it the right way. He never lies to his players. He tries to make it player-led as much as he can. A lot of times the players come to him and say, hey, it's time to ratchet up the discipline, and he'll do that, and he listens to them. He has had some he's done this for so long. He did it in high school in Texas, just recently inducted into the Texas High School Coaches Hall of Fame. And his ability to manage games, but I think also to manage people. He is he's fair to everyone. He's open to everyone. He'll do whatever he needs to get this program into the next level. He's turned down opportunities for more money to go other places. Texas Tech came calling a few years ago, and UTSA stepped up, and he stays here. I think he really wants to make this another great program. And like all schools, we're all struggling for revenue. But the type of person that he is, and the reason that this team is as good as it is because the players have stayed to play for him and to continue to build that culture that he created when he got here in the middle of COVID in 2020. And they were finally allowed to get together right before the season started. And then they still won seven games that year and 12 the next year.
All right, continuing our conversation with Andy Everett, voice of the UTSA Roadrunners. All right, let's talk about the team. 1-2 start, got back on track against an FCS team in Incarnate Word last week. But one of the things that sticks out through the first three games is the offense. And the offense has put up a lot of numbers, and it's been a balanced offense. Tell us a little bit about this offense and of course, its leader and a kid that has a lot of experience in quarterback in Owen McCown.
Yeah, people in Colorado will be familiar a little bit with Owen. Before Deion got to Colorado, Owen was at Colorado, played the last four games of the year, so he didn't burn his red shirt and only played in four games. And I think before Coach Prime was ever hired, he made the decision he didn't want to stay there. And he had to sit behind a really good player in Frank Harris for a year. And Frank, after he finally was here for 6 years or seven seasons and finally left, then it was Owen's turn to run the team. And I thought last year he was a little bit rusty because he hadn't played a lot.
Yeah,
and
right,
as the year progressed, he got better and better. He's kind of taken off where he left off last year. UTSA's got some receiver injuries. They have not played Jamel Hardy, and we're just kind of working in a transfer in A.J. Wilson, who had a really good game against Incarnate Word. Devin McEwen and David Amador and Willie McCoy are all game-breaking players if they can get the ball in space. And that's what they try to do in the passing game. And right now, UTSA has the leading rusher in the nation in Robert Henry, who's had, I don't think anybody's ever done this, at least I can't find it anywhere. He's had three runs for a touchdown of 74 or 75 yards in the last three games. And it ironically happened first play of the third quarter against A&M, second play of the third quarter against Texas State, and the third play of the third quarter against Incarnate Word, he went the distance for touchdowns.
All right, so that means the fourth offensive play for UTSA at the third quarter on Saturday. Yeah,
they're
going
to fake it to him this time, probably.
That's right. All right, a couple final thoughts with Andy Everett, voice of UTSA, the Roadrunners, taking on Colorado State on Saturday night. We talked about the offense, and the offense has put up some big numbers. The defense, and I know there's a lot of new pieces on that defensive side of the ball, they've given up some big numbers. Tell us a little bit about what you've seen from the defensive unit for UTSA.
Well, none of them started last year unless they just had to because somebody was out. They were not projected as starters, but they all played a lot, except for the two or three new guys that have come in to kind of fill up some holes, which every team does. But overall, this is I think they feel very good that the defense has talent. But when you just haven't ever done it before, that experience needs to kind of work itself in. And we started to see that a little bit in the Incarnate Word game just three games in. Now, obviously, Incarnate Word is not as good a competition as Texas A&M or Texas State was. But Jeff Traylor talked about magic moments for defensive backs. And what he meant by that is I can coach you to play the position all you want. But when that's a 50-50 ball up in the air, and it's up to you or the wide receiver who's going to get it. Now, the rules are going to give the advantage to the wide receiver all the time. But if you can make a play, if you can knock the ball away or get a pick, then that's the magic moment that that defensive backs kind of learn. And UTSA has had so many defensive backs over the years that when they were young and very green, they made mistake after mistake and never made a magic moment. And then at some point, the light bulb came on and they made all the plays. Tariq Woolen's playing for Seattle. He was a converted wide receiver in 2020 to the defensive backfield. And all of a sudden, he'd get burned, and then all of a sudden he started making interceptions and plays, and he's one of the fastest guys in the combine, and he got drafted by the Seahawks, and he's probably going to get an extension soon. So you can see how defensive backs develop, and I think UTSA is hoping that this defensive backfield doesn't take very many games more to develop. They feel like they've got a lot of talent, but they've been giving up the big plays, mainly just because they're not in the right spot and haven't gotten that experience as to where they need to be to make those plays.
All right, we'll let you run on this. Big picture view with the game coming up on Saturday night for Colorado State. And look, I know it's a non-conference game, but for Colorado State, you're playing three home games in September before you go into Mountain West Conference play. And I know Ram fans are looking at this as, I mean, kind of a pivotal game. Which way is the season going to go? And I know, again, it's only going to be September 20th. How about for UTSA? I know they've gotten off to slow starts in September in the last few years. How do you view this game for the Roadrunners coming up Saturday night?
Well, I think it's a winnable road game if you play as good as you possibly can. And I think that's what Jeff looks like. I think we look back to the Texas A&M game. It was a one-score game in the third quarter, and one of our defensive backs jumped a route, almost picked it off. And had he picked it off, it would have been a pick six, and UTSA would have had the lead against a top-10 team, top-12 team right now in the polls.
Right.
They also thought it was a backwards pass, but replay review turned it over. So think about what could have happened with that. So I think confidently this team feels like it can hang with teams. The difference between the 21 and 22 teams that seemingly always figured out a way to win on the road and what we see right now is they just haven't done it yet. Can they do it? And that would give them some tremendous confidence. Next week is a bye week, and then we start American Conference play with Temple and Rice. So there's a stretch here where you have a chance to pad the record if you play well. So I think UTSA is looking at it very much the same way Colorado State is. This is an opportunity to kind of springboard you into the conference season. It also keeps you not having the bad taste in your mouth for 2 weeks with no game next week. But if you don't play well and you turn it over and make silly mistakes, you're probably not going to beat anybody, especially on the road.
All right, Andy, we appreciate the insight. Thank you so much, and looking forward to seeing you on Saturday night.
Sounds good. Can't wait.
All right, that's Andy Everett. He's the play-by-play voice of the UTSA Roadrunners. Rams and the Roadrunners on Saturday night, 7:30 p.m. from Canvas Stadium in Fort Fun. All right, fellas, that'll do it for me. We'll send it back to the studio and Rocky Mountain College kickoff.
All right, appreciate you, Brian. Always great to hear from the opposing play-by-play guy, but I think this game is simple, fellas. It all comes down, in my opinion, to two things. It comes down to play calling by Jay Norvell, and it comes down to Braden Fowler-Nicolosi, who has to step up to the plate when his number's called.
I think so, but then there's also that part of me that's like, just step up to the plate and hand the ball off. And step up to the plate and don't throw an interception. Just do a quick check down.
Yeah, I'll stand by that. Their best option is 70-30 run to pass or 65-35. It's just I don't trust BFN to make opponents pay.
The offensive line is good. Lean on them.
And they're good at run blocking.
Yeah.
Very good at run blocking.
Yeah, very good. All right, we've got two games still to preview. Of course, the big one tomorrow night at 8:15 on ESPN, Wyoming and the Colorado Buffaloes. And, of course, we'll dive into UNC and Houston Christian as well coming up in just a bit. It's Rocky Mountain College Kickoff. We'll be back with more after this.
Sister, don't you kiss me once or twice, then say it's very nice, and then you run.
How dare you? You have betrayed our trust.
Didn't you guys bash Dwight Yacambas? All of his total is
Dwight Yacambas. What's Dwight Yacambas?
You're the guy you like.
It doesn't matter, Michael. Please stop talking.
Didn't you say all of his covers are terrible?
Now, time for a Rocky Mountain College kickoff. Right-hand construction, opponent construction. Let's go with UNC first, Mike, and let's talk about Houston Christian. How is this team constructed?
Houston Christian on offense, they lean heavy on the run game. Zayshon Edwards and Darrell Evans have 8 combined touchdowns. Quarterback Jake Weir, only 362 yards, 54%. Only 4.6 yards per completion, which is really, really low. They have no big plays in the passing game. Their longest pass of the year is 25 yards, which is not very good. Most teams at least have one 50-yarder in there somewhere. Defensively, only 2 sacks.
Can I stop you for a second? Ed Lamb was blowing smoke on Wednesday then. And he's like, these are the best athletes, explosive plays. You don't have a pass yard past 25 yards, man. Just respect for the opponent.
Yeah, that's
just coach speak.
A lot of that.
Okay, yeah, saying what he has to.
Yeah. All right.
Defensively, they only have 2 sacks on the season. Safety Nori Johnson is their leading tackler, and linebacker Rodney Dansby. He's the man in the middle of the defense. He's a pretty good linebacker.
There you go. There's your right hand construction, opponent construction.
I'm just that. When do you think the last time that UNC was favored in a ball game?
Were they favored in the Chadron State, or was that not?
There was no line.
There was no line. Yep.
Probably been a while. It's probably been a while.
Go from 20-point dogs to favored here?
I don't know, man.
Is it still hanging at 2.5?
I saw 1.5 earlier.
And that's so, right. It was 1.5, yes. Houston Christian, when they were, what were they before?
Houston Baptist.
They beat UNC in 2022.
I thought.
Here.
Did Ed McCaffrey beat them down in Houston, right? First year?
Let me double check on that. Okay. But I looked on Wednesday, And they did win a game against UNC recently.
I see, and I thought UNC beat Houston, Christian, but continue on, Derbs.
Yeah, I was just you don't see big swings like that at that level, so either the bookmakers are coming around to things or people are really buying into UNC stock like we are.
September 11th, 2021, UNC beat Houston Baptist 45-13. So that was 2021, which was Ed McCaffrey's second season, I believe.
And then Houston Christian earned its first series win on September 3rd, 2022.
Okay, so they had the home and home.
46-34. That was a shootout.
Hey, we were both right. Slap hands.
Boy, we're gonna expect a little more points out of this than what we think historical wise. Or
the
we
Bears haven't. Yeah, you don't think of the Bears. I'll say this: like, I don't know really what their identity is. I think it's running the ball.
I don't think anymore. Not with Eric Gibson.
I don't know. Ed Lamb is the kind of coach that will change.
Yeah,
for his players,
and it sounds like that he lets his offensive coordinator, go with the flow of whatever.
Walter Scheid, and going back to his Southern Utah days, he's like, one year we were really successful and we threw the ball all over the place. The very next year we ran the ball all over the place. So he's very much a guy that I think looks at what he's got, and now maybe he's realizing that he has something in this quarterback.
He said, Wednesday he wants to poke on the run game, poke on the pass game, and figure out what's the best way to start to get to this defense. But as good as Eric Gibson Jr. has been, I think it's got to be the passing game.
Yeah, I think it is the passing game. We'll see. It'll be a little bit different with Price back this week, potentially. Maybe they'll run the ball a little bit more, but that short passing game, they throw it a lot to the running backs. That can kind of be the run game if need be.
Right.
But with the way Eric Gibson has been playing, and Monroe and Cheeks on the outside are very good receivers.
Yeah.
And I think that's the way they have to go.
I say this, and I've said this to Ed's face, and he does not like it. And you guys have heard me make this reference a lot. I made it today about Derbs. The tortoise and the hare thing. I truly
Derbs
feel
is definitely the tortoise.
When you're talking about, hey, we push on the run game, we push on the pass game, kind of see what's going on. He's just not eager to go all in one way or the other. Look at the way he plays his running backs.
Yeah.
Every week they have to earn a job. They have to earn carries. There's nobody in that running back room that has an earned spot. They had a CSU guy in Van Shield. Everyone thought, oh, he's guaranteed to be the number one guy. He ended up being like number five or six. I just really feel that Ed, when he talks to you, you know, you're a farm guy and the asparagus thing.
Yes.
I know.
I just really feel like it's
a slow go, but it's just going to be this slow build up. And then suddenly it's just going to be, that's my feel. It's like the steady. Like
Steady Ed Eddie. He's literally Steady
he could
Eddie.
He's a staple here in Northern Colorado,
man.
And I get that feeling from him. I don't understand him. Norvell, I get. Good or bad. Coach Prime, I get. Good or bad. Even Jay Sovell up there. We get what they want to do. They say what they want to do.
Yeah.
Ed doesn't say what he wants to do. No. He doesn't come out and say, yeah, we're going to throw the ball a lot. We're going to be air raid. We're going to run you into the ground. None of that stuff.
And I'm completely fine with that. Honestly, I love it.
I am too. I'm just scared of it.
The one thing about it, like,
don't be scared, Brady. Let love in.
Coaching at the high school level, as long as I did, every group is different, and you have to adjust. Like, maybe one year it's going to be the quarterback is going to take the run game and he's going to carry it. One year, maybe that quarterback can throw the ball all over your yard. Maybe you have a couple of good wings that are going to run the ball. It really changes based on those players you have, and I love that Ed is not going to say, we are a running team, and that's what we're going to do.
And where the hell did Charles Garrison come from? I mean, this is a guy that...
I can tell you about Charles Garrison.
This is Charlie, right? Yeah. He goes by Charlie. I mean, we're so high on Fisher Clements. All right, Brady's selling us on Fisher Clements, and then it's the other tight end.
Charles Garrison, he was in Football 52.
Was he?
And he took a massive human, and I said, you're giving me Gronk vibes, and he looked at me, no smile at all, and he's like, I don't think that's a compliment. And I said, yeah, I want it to be a compliment, man. It was a compliment. And he played a little Gronk-esque last week. So Ed's very high on the tight ends, but you just don't know. It might be Charles Garrison this week.
Yeah.
But then it might
Did he tell you the story about the Sunday lift on Football 52? I haven't got a chance to listen to it yet. Ed shows up Sunday for the Sunday lift. So they get back from almost beating South Dakota, and they're lifting on Sunday. And Ed's in there, and he's running in the same group as Charles Garrison is. And Charles walks in, and he goes, I'm surprised your ass didn't quit already. I would have retired after the game you had yesterday. He's messing with him, right?
Ed told that to Charles?
Yes. Okay. Ed told that to Charlie, and he's messing with him because he's like, he knows that in his offense, there's going to be one game where it is Carver Cheeks. There's going to be one game where it is Matthias Price. Then Rocco's going to have a good game. Then Charles Garrison. Like,
yeah.
I love it about it,
though.
You
really have no idea who the guy is going to be.
I'm not comparing the two, but what offensive team does that sound like? In the NFL-wise, there was a dynasty. Sounds a lot like the New England Patriots to me. You never knew on a given Sunday who was going to be the guy. Ed is building his team on that side. Faith texting in, not to make a pun, but I really have faith in this Bears team. Micah, scale 1 to 10, how is that pun?
That is a 10.
Thank you. They are on the verge. Am I biased because my kid plays? No. I keep it real, and my kid knows that. They really have gelled. Well, we appreciate you listening, Faith.
She's a real fan, too. Like, she,
yeah.
Her kid does play, and he's got an incredible story, Miles McClarity.
Yep.
But she's also pretty real with everything, too. So it's refreshing to hear that with these fans.
It really is. Okay, let's go to CU Wyoming tomorrow night, 8:15. Probably more like 8:30, and I know everybody loves those games. I'm in on them, too. 8:15 games, like them or hate them.
I'm sleeping.
Love them. Saturdays.
Love.
Saturday, 8:15 games.
Yeah.
Okay, you old guy. You are the worst.
That's my time.
You are the absolute worst. Brady, I'm with you. I'm with
daytime
you.
Daytime games are just...
They're hard, man.
They're just hard.
They're hard. Micah, you're in on the late night?
Oh, okay. Yeah. I'm so used to Pac-12 after dark stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. We grew up on the Pac-12 after dark.
Grew up on it. Talk to you, Wyoming.
So, CU, a couple of things that stand out to me. Even though they lost last week, the O-line grades all jumped up about 10 points each player. So the O-line is getting better. 64% of the plays are pass plays, which I'm not...
When you're in a quarterback controversy, that's what...
Yeah, I'm not huge on... I would like to see a lot more...
What percentage of those are swing routes? They throw them all the damn time.
Defense, actually, by PFF, they're ranked 41 out of 130, so defense really isn't horrible. They're really not getting after the quarterback. That's worrisome to me. That's something that you need to do. And DJ McKinney continues to be a bright spot on that defense. And we look at corners, we go, oh, man, they're coverage guys. DJ McKinney's really good in the run game also.
Yeah, so I
here
I,
we go, yeah, Bucks by a million. They're gonna blow the doors off Wyoming.
I just don't see Wyoming scoring. Like, they're 129th in the air, and they're 125th on the ground. Like, it's just not good. Like, their best option is just trying to run out the clock and make it a competitive game. They tried to do that against Utah, and then they ran out of steam. And that's just – it's just what I see happening here. I just think it's going to be the same story.
Like, CU is nowhere close to Utah, though.
They're better than you think. I mean, they held Georgia Tech to 27 points, and that is an electric team. Like, I don't – the comparing those two squads is just wildly different to me. Like, I think Wyoming is closer to Delaware than they are closer to Georgia Tech.
Oh, Go Pokes is going to love that one.
He already gave it to me a little bit when...
I saw it.
Yeah.
And you earned every bit
of it. I did. I know. And I said, you know, take the CU spread as high as it can go.
Like, that's
and that's
crazy
just for the
me,
fact
dude.
That I just... I literally don't see them having 10 to 12 play drives to put up points.
You've got a team that doesn't know who their damn quarterback is. You've got a coach who doesn't know when to call timeouts. And all of a sudden, Wyoming just is so bad that you can take the spread as high as you want?
I don't think they're so bad. I just don't like they're not in the same league to me as this team. Like, I understand all the controversies and all the outspoken media things and all that, but when it comes down to what I look at to win a football game, none of that matters. They're not going to need to know when to call timeouts in this game to me.
Derbs, do you think one of the things about the rankings offensively for Wyoming is the fact that they're a 50-50 team? Like, they're not dominant of a pass team or a run team. They legitimately, it is a 50-50 split.
I will say your last name every time on this program. Now, that's a great point, Mike Danson.
It is, yeah. Some of that leads to that, but you're bad at both. So, like, if you were a 50-50 split and you were, like...
You talking about efficiency?
Yeah. Like, okay. And if you were above average at both or even average at both, then I'd be like, well, this team can move down the field. I have not seen them. They put up 10 points against Akron, and Akron is 135th out of 137 teams in the country right now. Like,
still early.
It is very
still
early
with those numbers.
And I will believe in Wyoming because they have athletes and they have good players. I just think for these last two matchups, they're in a different ballgame than what they can survive in.
Yeah, well, and I kind of agree with Derbs. I get what he's saying too. Like CU's not as bad as because again they covered the spread against Delaware. They did. It was weird
because the Delaware kicker they pulled off the street and he missed a field goal.
Yeah, they still covered it at the end of the day. I'm really torn on this game. Because CU, I thought, was probably an 8-win team to start the season. But then the Houston game kind of... And I thought Houston would win that game and cover that spread. But at the same time, I'm going, I don't think Houston's as bad as everybody else is saying. But I'm also on Wyoming. Like, I don't think they're as bad. I think offensively, they were outside themselves. They didn't know what to do. They were very confused. They have to stay... They ran the ball 34 times against Utah. That didn't work, but they still have to stay to it. And I don't think CU defensively, like that line is pretty bad against the run. So that would be my 34 rushes again against CU, I'll take to at least maybe cover that spread and be close in this one.
I'll take those rednecks up there in Laredice, ready to go into Boulder, a primetime game, ESPN.
Go Pokes wants to know if you give him 50 Derbs.
No, he said that the same thing.
Like, come on, Derbs.
30 is the limit.
You would take CU minus 30 right now?
Sure. If they gave me 29 and a half, I would take it.
Oh, my God.
Mike.
Were you hanging out in Boulder a little too much? You got a little bit of that Colorado weed going?
Well, yeah, why not?
Well, they do got the new Ralphie showing up tonight.
Zillion just because of Ralphie.
Yeah, that's the only way. Nope, not giving anything away. Not giving anything
is
away.
Is Ralphie playing defensive tackle?
That's what I was wondering, too.
She is.
Or running back. Okay, performance of the week. How did we do last week? Who's walking away with the crown of shame? We'll find out next.
There's only one sound like the key tumbling the lock open for the first time. One feeling like finally seeing your place after you've emptied all the moving boxes. That moment when four walls and a roof become the home you've always wanted. If you're on the search for that special place, we're the community bank that'll help you get there. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC. Equal housing lender.
Life is like a lasers, aeroplanes, it's a duck blur. Might solve a mystery or rewrite history. DuckTales.
Woohoo! All right, it's time here on Rocky Mountain College Kickoff. Our analytics expert that I just argued with, go Pokes. I'm trying to get him to go double or nothing, get me involved on that bet as well. You've got to deal with Go Pokes, a gentleman's agreement. Go Pokes gets 29 and a half for a cigar or a six-pack of...
Whatever.
And I went in on that. He's not let me. So we go now to you. You've got the big matchup for tomorrow. Two teams. We're going to blindly tell you who we would take in this. Dustin, go ahead.
Correct. So real fast, Team A and Team B, very, very similar. So I'm just going to go through real quick. Team A, 18th on the ground, 75th through the air on offense. Defense, 18th against the rush, 22nd against the pass. Team B, 87th against the rush, 18th through the air. And then on defense, they are 40th on the ground and 5th through the air. So it's real quick, real even. They play a little bit of a different style of offense. Out of those two magnificent things.
That's a big one.
Read your numbers, never the blind matters.
Yes. Who do you got?
I'll take Team A.
Who was the better against the rush?
Against the rush would be Team A.
I'm going to go Team A.
I'm on Team A as well. Please tell me that's Nebraska.
That is Michigan.
Oh, no.
All three of you. That is Michigan versus Nebraska at Nebraska. Team B was Nebraska.
I've been all over Nebraska, too. Where were you guys at on Front Range Spare Change?
We're on Nebraska. We just think that Bryce Underwood is a little too raw.
A little more development needed.
Yep, to go into that hostile environment.
And that's a pick. Front Range Spare Change podcast is still out, but there you go. There's a little sneak peek. You like Nebraska on the money line?
We do, yep. Take them to win.
Okay, there you go. All right, performance of the week. Text us who you think will be the performer of the week. It's got to be a local team. Otherwise, I will send back the most aggressive passive-aggressive winky face you've ever seen in your life. Yeah, if someone takes Maddox Mattson from Boise State, who I would love to pick here, you will be so shamed.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable.
I tried once. Don't do it.
No, it's a pretty serious rule.
Derbs learned that the hard way early on. Last week.
One winky face at first, and then you guys lost your minds, and I was like,
No.
Screw it. Five million.
That passive-aggressive winky face was you losing your mind. How dare you take that UNLV quarterback? Yeah. You wanted Devin Dampier? Go to hell!
He would have won every time last week.
I printed it out, and it was 11 pages, and 10 were winky faces.
Well, and I added three more every week as it went. Just part of it.
So, no, you can't pick anyone outside. Give us yours. Text us, 888-530-0043.
Derbs is going to pick a cowboy. I can feel it.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
I'm going to pick Michael Mattson.
Yeah.
Well,
not his name.
Completely different Mattson.
Not even a person.
Brady, who'd you have last week?
Carver Cheeks, I believe.
Three catches, 95 yards. I think he's in the safe house here.
I had Cade Harris, 72 rushing, 63 receiving.
I think that's more than safe. And once again, it comes down to me and Dustin. And you couldn't argue your case last week because you were getting shmammered in South Dakota.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, do you want to try and defend that?
Well, I said one name, and I think that describes my pick.
Johnson, the Air Force quarterback, I think.
I think.
What was Josh Johnson last week?
Not good. That's not good.
I had Ryan Staub, and I thought for sure, I didn't know. So this is, I was also getting schmammered on Saturday in a golf tournament last week.
What?
I know, crazy concept. And I thought for sure Staub was going to be the low man on the totem pole. But my guy got benched after the game. My Dustin's got benched during the game.
But then came back, right?
Okay, so all in favor of Ryan Staub being the low man on the totem pole, say aye.
Aye.
Oh, I got two. What were Staub's numbers?
Let me get him pulled up real quick here. He was 19 of 35, 204 yards, a touchdown, two picks. He also had the rush that ended up where he got into the end zone. All in favor of Josh Johnson being the low man on the totem pole, say aye.
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 Oh, two versus.
What do we do here?
I win.
Am I the tiebreaker?
No, that's not fair.
I can be the tiebreaker, guys.
You're going to go against Tanner.
You're going to go against me every time.
No, I'm not going to go against Tanner necessarily.
Yes, you are.
Not necessarily.
So give us your thoughts. Josh Johnson got pulled, comes back in. They still move the ball.
Lost by 19.
Staub had
my
a
team
really
only lost by
good...
16. I think I should get it. My team only lost by 16. His lost by 19.
Well, maybe if they would have left Josh Johnson.
The thing for me about Josh Johnson is the backup quarterback came in and ran for three touchdowns.
Mike, you can't be bringing
facts
to this argument.
Dude, Mike Danson. The crown of shame goes to Dustin Urbis. Shame this man, shame. Mike.
Micah might have been going your favor.
Mm-hmm. I was actually going in your favor.
Let's go, Micah.
The stab was stabbable.
Shame this man.
I will take it.
Shame. Shame. Shame.
Sorry, you had to go through that, Derbs.
Shame, shame, shame. Mm-hmm.
But at least it gets fun at the end.
Shame on you. Shame, shame, shame. Shame on you. This was serious, but it turned into something fun.
I have bad news to break to you, Dustin Urbis. That is your second crown of shame in a row.
What happens?
It's a good thing we're in week six.
Oh, you get a demerit. You get a demerit.
Oh, no.
You do not want a demerit. So far, I have finished first with the best performance in 2 weeks of On the Chopping Block. I finished third 2 weeks in a row.
Did Mike win?
Yeah, I think both of you guys. You got 1A, 1B.
Oh, we don't care about the winner. We just care about the loser.
Yeah, yeah. We just don't want to be last.
We just want to give a crown.
There it is. Crown of shame.
Shame of crown.
Start praising the guy. And you see why I've been bashing.
I've had the shame of crown before. Like,
well, now I know the rules.
Does anybody have any follow-ups to that?
Are we keeping track of the demerits?
The shame of crown. So Brady has.
We should just call it the shame of crown.
Brady has one shame of crown, and Dustin has two shames of crown.
Yes.
Good news so for you, Derbs, is that you can take Caden Anderson right now with your number one pick. You pick first. I'll pick second. Brady, you pick third. Mike, you pick fourth, as Cade Harris was a little bit better with his rush yards than Carver Cheek. So go ahead, Derbs.
Now I got to stay on brand. I'll take Caden Salter. He comes back
into
the lineup.
Did you pick him already?
I don't know, maybe.
You can pick the
same. Why not?
This isn't the quarterback toilet bowl.
Yeah. I had a winky face for that, too.
Last year we were doing like Survivor.
Oh, is that what we're doing?
Give me the 12-page document.
I forgot the rules on that one.
Okay,
well, are we really doing? You can only pick the. You can't pick the same guy.
Well, this I didn't know.
I forgot.
No, it's live radio, dude. We can't hold.
After
for
we
you.
Did the quarterback toilet bowl, I'm so I knew that.
Yeah, the
I can't. I don't know who I took every week though. I know I took John Michael Gillenborg once.
Yeah, you took Fisher Clements once. You took Carver Cheeks once. There's your three. You've taken two tight ends and a receiver so far.
I like tight ends.
I've taken why can I not? The running back for CSU, my God,
Jalen
man.
Dupree?
This is why I don't talk a whole lot on this program. Yeah, I took Jalen Dupree. I took, which he got hurt, and then I took the quarterback, Peterman. And then last week I had Ryan Staub.
I don't believe I took Caden Salter. I took Amarian Miller.
That's true. Yeah. Okay. You want Caden Salter?
Caden Salter.
Cool. I was going to say. I didn't
Give me Eric Gibson Jr. Give me Eric Gibson Jr. I'm going there. I think the Bears put up some points tomorrow.
You said it was Brady. I had the last pick.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Ready?
Who's
the tight end for CU?
Well, I can't take John Michael Gillenborg
again,
right? And I don't even know if he's going to play, so I don't know if I would do that.
Take Jackson Warren. How about Jackson
Warren?
No. We got a report that he's walking around in a boot.
Give me... Go Pokes is giving me a...
You don't want to take a cowboy, do you?
Might be taking the cowboy.
What about Charlie? What about Rob Gronkowski?
I'm going to take Sam Scott, Wyoming.
Okay. All right.
I will take Jalen Dupree and hope that CSU decides to run the ball this week.
Okay, so Mike's Jalen Dupree. I've got Eric Gibson Jr. We've got Caden Salter. And we've got Sam Scott, Michael Scott's nephew, that will be up there for Wyoming. All right. Picks on the other side. How did we do last week? We'll let you know, and we're ready to roll here. It's Rocky Mountain College Kickoff, presented by Big City Roadhouse on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFK.
You are killing Micah. I think you're actually killing him.
We're not even supposed to play this right here. Do you have what we're supposed to be playing?
I don't remember. Oh, the picks music.
Yeah, but it's picks. Like, no, if you're going to mess up, play Dwight Yoakam, and it's not a mess up.
Right.
He did it on purpose. But like,
I think
he's
starting to buy in.
I think he's coming around.
Yeah.
Is this what we're supposed to be hearing right now?
I think I'm starting to fall asleep.
Is this what
Dwight Yoakam's killing me?
We're supposed to be
getting some kind of like audio lead poisoning.
That's enough of you. Unless you're going to play our music. You're going to play our normal picks music? I am getting no response from the producer here. All right, okay, let's go. Tomorrow night, 5 o'clock. Nope.
That'll work.
Wrong again.
That'll work.
That'll work.
A lot of these guys will be playing in the NFL someday.
That's true. Mm-hmm.
UNC taking on Houston Christian tomorrow night, 5 o'clock. UNC Bears -1.5. Brady, where are you going?
I like the Bears to finally get through here, and I like them to cover that.
Mike?
UNC.
I'm on UNC as well. I like the Bears.
Clean sweep.
That is the second time this year that's happened, and I can tell you that's a new record.
Can you adjust the lines in the FCS games?
Oh, that I don't know.
I don't know either.
I would like to.
I don't know either. By the way, Faith, I haven't been ignoring you. She is jumping in. She's going defensive player for performance of the week. Zach Nowitzki.
He's a stud.
Is he going to play this week?
I think he's good. Okay. That's what Coach said on Wednesday.
Listen, that's the player's mom right there.
She knows.
She got to know something, right? Zach Nowitzki. That's where she's going performance of the week. We go down to, or over, I should say, to Fort Collins. The CSU Rams playing host to UTSA. UTSA -4.5. Mike!
It doesn't really bode well for my player of the week with Jalen Dupree, but give me UTSA.
Brady!
Yeah, I'm going with UTSA to cover.
Dustin?
Meep, meep.
That's a roadrunner.
That's a roadrunner.
Well done.
Don't listen to Mike. A little inside baseball. Don't listen to Mike. So here.
That's pretty fast.
Listen to this, okay? I'm down one game. You guys are all at 7-4. I'm at 6-5 in the picks.
Pretty bad.
One game worse.
Yeah, well. Oh, yeah.
One game worse. And I don't know what it is. There's a little birdie that's just talking to me. It's not a roadrunner. I think CSU covers that. I'll take CSU +4.5. We go down to Air Force. We go to Colorado Springs. The Falcons are 11.5-point dogs to Boise State. Derps!
It pains me because I'm high on Air Force, but give me Boise in this one.
Mike!
Boise.
I like Air Force to cover.
I'm riding with B-Dog. Give me Air Force +11.5. We're going to fly that jet to the moon. There's no such thing as getting too close to the moon. Finally, in Boulder, 8:15 on ESPN. The Pokes go down to Boulder, 12.5. The spread. Brady?
Wyoming's winning that game.
Ho, 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 ho.
They're winning that game.
Oh, my
God. I did not see that game. We got 7 seconds.
See you.
See you, -7.5.
See you by a zillion.
Give me the Pokes. We'll talk to you next Friday.
This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Greeley, one team like the UNC Bears, and one bank who cheers as loud as you do. Bank of Colorado, proud partner of UNC Athletics, member FDIC.